Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to This is Robotics, episode 24. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Green, your guide and companion for today's journey into our Global Robotics News Podcast. Our first story explores the reasons for why is there so little automation in America. As sci-fi writer William Gibson once remarked, the future is already here, but it's not evenly distributed. Well, much the same can be said for automation in America. Why is it that only 5 out of 50 U.S. states get 77% of all industrial robots? Those states? Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Kansas. While the remaining 45 states average 175 industrial robots apiece. Those are definitely places that are under-automated. 3 recent reports explain why, and the whys are not good for America. The reports also answer the question, do robots take jobs? Yes, they do. For every 1 robot deployed in this 5-state region, 3.3 jobs are lost. The reports also tell us what happens to the health of those individuals who lose their jobs to an industrial robot. It's unsurprisingly grim. This 5-state region could well become a test zone, a laboratory, if you will, for America's future in dealing with people, robots, artificial intelligence, job loss, retraining, and reskilling. Perfect things in these 5 robo-hubs, and then spread them out to the rest of the country. Until something is done about the situation, the country will remain under-automated, which in large measure is one of the reasons why the country is undergoing a productivity decline, its greatest in 75 years, since 1948. Korea is definitely on the upswing in the world of robotics. We've been covering Korean robotics for about a year now. Please catch our 2-part series on Korea, especially right after its $177 billion breakout for robotics. Catch our links in the show notes called Korea's Major Growth Spurt in 2023. Very interesting. Everything robot in Korea is getting max attention these days, from the government, industry, and academia. Doosan Robotics is no exception. It's going public, and its cobots have an excellent shot at pushing themselves into being number 1 worldwide. We take a look at Doosan and its upcoming IPO, plus its agreement with Microsoft to develop GPT-based cobots. Interesting things coming out of Korea. And while we're on the subject of cobots, what's still up with them and their weaker than tepid sales? Arguably, the most important technical advance in robotics in the last 50 years has got a problem. Cobots aren't selling. And it's been a problem for a decade. We've got an answer, or 2, as to why. Join us and see if you agree. As an added bonus, we are reprising in this podcast our episode clip and PDF download as well, titled The Problem with Cobots. It offers a nice perspective on cobots going forward and how Doosan could take the lead. With Doosan's new cobot venture, we may finally see cobot sales finally hit the mega numbers that forecasters have been predicting for cobots for years. And finally, Agility Robotics is feeling very fertile these days, and its new humanoid digit is about to multiply. Join us for Agility's shot at assembly line humanoids. Maybe as many as 10,000 someday soon will be striding out of the world's first humanoid robot factory, a 70,000-square-foot factory that Agility calls its RoboFab. Okay, now let's get on with the news. Manufacturing in America is shockingly under-automated. That's the headline to our lead story. Undoubtedly, it must come as a surprise to many, especially when speaking about the second greatest manufacturing country in the world, with an annual GDP well north of $25 trillion. But underautomated, it most definitely is, which is partly explains why America is in its worst productivity slump in 75 years. Worst since 1948. As sci-fi writer William Gibson famously wrote, the future is already here, but it's not evenly distributed. And much the same can be said about automation in America. A recent report from Stanford University and the National Bureau of Economic Research shows that 77% of all industrial robots sold in the United States go to only 5 states out of 50. And the 5 are grouped together in America's northern Midwest: Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Kansas. Which, coincidentally, is the heart of America's automaking country, together with that industry's 6,500 suppliers of auto parts and their 600,000 plus employees. Here's how CBS News reported on the Stanford research about the uneven distribution of industrial robots in America.
Automation is becoming a part of more American workplaces, particularly in manufacturing. A new study from the National Bureau of Economic Research shows that impact is not even across the country. Elaine has more.
Well, Lana, researchers studied corporations that used robots in manufacturing and where they were located. Now, if companies used robots, they had a lot of them. Over 3/4 of all active manufacturing robots in the U.S. are in a small amount of so-called robot hubs, which include states like Iowa, Michigan, Kansas, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Half of all areas surveyed across the country had almost no robot use reported. So this led researchers to identify certain attributes associated with these robot hubs. Companies in those hubs tend to have higher union membership, more workers, and be near firms that specialize in manufacturing robots called robot integrators. But those companies were reportedly more likely to pay their workers less. And that matches previous studies on the effects of robots on wages. In a 2019 study of the Midwest manufacturing sector, an increase of one robot was associated with as much as a 5% decline in wages for young men and women without college degrees. Now, in 2021, the installation of industrial robots hit a new record, signaling that automation will continue becoming more integrated into the American manufacturing fabric.
The report called the 5 states robo-hubs, which the report explains are agglomerations. That's agglomeration is a large, densely, and contiguously populated area. So the report, the Stanford report, calls them agglomerations. These robot hubs are agglomerations, and suggested that future research should dig deeper to understand the causes and agglomeration consequences of technology adoption, such as witnessed in the black hole of robot hubs, sucking in 77% of all industrial robots in the United States. Amazing. Many of the future consequences of technology adoption, alluded to by the researchers, are already coming to pass. We already know from other related reports. So what is it that we know from these other reports? We know from industrial robot sales that of the 44,196 robots, which was an historical high, that were shipped into North America, about 10,000 are split between Canada and Mexico, according to the International Federation of Robotics, leaving a balance for the United States of 34,196. If 77% of that number, or 26,330, go to those 5 robot states, that means there's a balance of 7,866 industrial robots, which went to the other 45 states to split, which averages out to about 175 industrial robots per state. Pretty bad. 175 industrial robots per state is not going to cut it as far as automating America's manufacturing goes. Of the 34,196 total for the U.S., 93% were industrial robots, while just 7% were cobots. Once again, cobot sales were minuscule, even during an historical high for sales in America. Even though annually forecasts project cobot sales to be mega. They never materialize. Why is that? It's been going on for 10 years. Corroborating the dearth of industrial robots and cobots in the non-robot hub states is MIT's report from Susan Berger's group, Manufacturing in America, A View from the Field, which found little to no robot automation in the states that it centered its research on, Massachusetts, Ohio, and Arizona. Now, here's the danger in that. As Stanford Research reported, robot adopting firms, that's companies taking on robots, especially in the robot hubs, can gain market share and potentially displace less productive non-robot using firms. In other words, factories that are not automated can't compete with those that are, and those currently getting outproduced are thus in jeopardy of going under. For non-robot hub states averaging 175 industrial robots each, that's bad news. We also know from the Century Foundation's report, which was titled How Robots Are Beginning to Affect Workers and Their Wages, we know from that report that for every new robot that is deployed into the robot hubs, those five states, it lowers employment by approximately 3.3 workers. Especially hard hit are the young, less educated men and women. Here's how the NBC pointed it out once again.
Half of all areas surveyed across the country had almost no robot use reported.
We also learned from a report somberly titled Death by Robot. Isn't that an unbelievable title? But it's true. In a report, Death by Robot, the study data indicates that each additional robot added per 100,000 factory workers into this same five-state hub area resulted in 8 additional deaths per 100,000 males aged 45 to 54 and 4 additional deaths per 100,000 females in that same age group. The findings also estimate that an overall increase of 12% in drug overdose mortality occurred among all working-age adults in the study. The researchers also produced a map of the U.S. showing the geographic area where these suicides, drug overdoses, and heart failures predominate. Curiously, the predominating geographic area from the report Death by Robot almost exactly aligns with the five states, Iowa, Michigan, Kansas, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, from our previous article on America's robot hubs. The five states that received 77% of robots sold in America and where 3.3 workers take a hike with every one additional robot deployed are the same. Here's a modest proposal. This five-state region could well become a test zone, a laboratory, if you will, for America's future in dealing with people, robots, artificial intelligence, job loss, retraining, and reskilling. Perfect things in these five robo hubs and then spread them out to the rest of the country. Maybe it could jumpstart a bit of automation for all of us. Although it seems like doom and gloom for automation in America, another way of looking at it is that automation in America is still in its infancy. Because in addition to low robot usage across the country, America's warehouses are still 80% unautomated with mobile robotics. Between manufacturing and logistics, there are still immense opportunities available for the makers of robots. Certainly, there is a lot of work to be done. However, in short, America's future automation potential is very exciting. Here's a competitor that all cobot vendors should keep an eye on over the next 18 months or so. Doosan Robotics is going public October 5th, next week, and it's looking to raise $317 million in an initial public offering. After pricing the deal at the top of its marked range, it's selling for almost $20 a share. The company is offering institutional investors shares between 21,000 won and 26,000 won, which is about 19 bucks. And its pricing at the top end would give the company a market cap of 1.3 billion, making it a unicorn. Sales to retail investors have gone along very well so far. Funds raised from the offering will be used to expand production facilities and its product portfolio. It hasn't really sold a heck of a lot of cobots, at least compared to Universal Robots. It's got like 1,000 sold, but it's the largest cobot vendor in all of Korea and hopes to expand, which is really good. So if everything goes as it should, and it looks like a lot of sovereign funds are across the world are looking to invest in this company, it looks like the future could be really good. Last year, of course, they had a $9 million operating loss. But the CEO is looking to break even in 2024. Doosan Robotics, of course, is owned by the Doosan Group, the huge multinational conglomerate, which owns 91% of Doosan Robotics. After the IPO, it will own about 68%. Shares in the parent company have already risen. Doosan Group has benefited right away by looking at an 11% increase in its shares. So what the heck's it going to do with all this money? Well, Doosan Robotics announced that it has entered into a business agreement with Microsoft and Doosan Digital Innovation to develop GPT-based robot control systems using Microsoft's Azure OpenAI service. Azure OpenAI provides the cloud services that include cutting-edge OpenAI systems, including GPT. So we're going to have GPT-driven robots. Doosan plans to pilot the GPT-based collaborative robot solution in the food and beverage sector later this year, and then expand it to use in its manufacturing sector. I got a plan that I think there's a lot of sales available in the manufacturing sector, and I think this Doosan cobot is going to be there before we know it. The key to this GPT-based cobot solution is enabling the robots to perform complex and diverse tasks while minimizing programming time. So says the CEO of Doosan Robotics, Ru Jung-hoon. When applied to software platform, their own, which is called Dart Suite, scheduled to launch in the second half of the year, the usability and convenience of collaborative robots will be further enhanced. Well, we'll see. Right now, at 1,000 robots, they're not a big threat, although the robot is really good. It's a really nice machine, and it competes in the industry with Fanuc, of course, which is one of the biggies, and the leader in the cobot world, Universal Robots. So good luck to Doosan Robotics. It looks like it's making a great move, and we hope it really does well on October 5th. Good luck, Doosan. Go get them. Almost everywhere in robotics is a fascinating time to get involved in these new machines. One of the better places, the most interesting places as of late, is humanoid robotics. Since Elon Musk threw down the gauntlet with Optimus, it seems things have really kicked into a higher gear. Everybody seems to be involved in some way, shape, or form, rushing their new humanoid robot out into the marketplace. One humanoid that has really been cutting out of space for itself is Agility Robotics. They're taking their strange-looking humanoid called Digit, and they're building a factory around it, and they intend to produce up to 10,000 of these humanoid robots for sale out into the world of people looking to alleviate labor problems. Agility is opening a first-of-its-kind factory in Salem, Oregon, where it will mass produce a line of humanoid robots called Digit. The new factory, which Agility has dubbed the RoboFab, will produce up to 10,000 units a year and employ 500 people, reports CNBC. Digit was designed to function as a robotic co-worker that can maneuver around warehouses and factories, traversing steps or crouching into small spaces. Here's Chief Operating Officer Andrea Campbell, who was formerly Apple's Senior Director of iPad Operations and an Engineering Manager at Ford, telling us what it's all about.
This is a really significant moment in the robotics industry. This is the world's first humanoid robot factory. This has never been done before. It's a brand new building, about 70,000 square feet, and it'll be able to deliver over 10,000 robots a year at max capacity. It's roughly 30 miles from our engineering center, which is fantastic. Not only that we're building it in the United States, but also that we're so close to the rest of the team. The other thing that's really exciting is that Digit's gonna work in our factory too. So just like Digit helps our customers in the logistics and warehouse space, we have logistics and warehouse needs as well. Digit's gonna move totes in our factory and help move material around the production floor. There was a point in time over 100 years ago when we had the world's first automobile factory. I think this is the same moment where we are now having the world's first humanoid robot factory. And someday, just like automobiles, humanoid robots will be all around the globe. And it's fantastic to be a part of that journey.
Damien Shelton, co-founder and CEO of Agility Robotics, said that his team developed Digit with a human form factor so that the robot can lift, sort, maneuver while staying balanced, and so they could operate in environments where steps or other structures could otherwise limit the use of robotics. The robots are powered with a rechargeable lithium-ion battery. Campbell adds that Digit can traverse stairs, crouch into tight spaces, unload containers, and move materials onto and off of a pallet or a conveyor, then help to sort and divide material onto other pallets. Digit looks a bit fragile, but since there aren't any longitudinal studies that have been done to see how long a Digit can last on the job, who knows? It may last forever. When it comes to cobots, haven't we all been reading stuff about cobot sales being low for years now? Like this from Global News. Collaborative robots, or cobots, have been in existence for the last 10 years, but account for less than 5% of the industrial robot market. However, the adoption of cobots is likely to see accelerated growth in the next 5 years. I don't know how many times I've seen that or read that. One forecaster says the collaborative robot cobot is projected to grow from $1.2 billion in 2021 to $10.5 billion in 2027. That's a tenfold increase. It is expected to grow at a compound annual rate of 43.4% from 2021 to 2027. Such news commentary and forecasts have been intriguing me for a long time. So what's the expectation that forecasters are exhibiting that's not being realized in the data of the actual sales of cobots? I went looking for a connection, and here's what I found. I have several articles from Reuters, more from The Economist, The Financial Times, a bunch of other people, plus a special study conducted over 2 years from MIT's Work of the Future, a document called Manufacturing in America, A View from the Field. It was led by Suzanne Berger, the John M. Deutsch Institute professor at MIT, and a cast of thousands, it seems like, from the document. For the cobot industry, are all the easy sales long gone? The proverbial low-hanging fruit, the easy sales, may be all in the rearview mirror. 2 years back, big corporations, especially the auto industry, have been sold, as have early adopters, as have well-financed startups, or anyone else with cobots baked into their design specifications. Cobot sales seem to be sliding sideways, always on the alert for the next tree with low-hanging fruit. Pharma, medical, etc. You get the picture. Now comes the hard part. Selling everyone else. The everyone else is essentially medium to small enterprises, that's SMEs, with 500 or fewer employees. 75% of those SMEs have 20 or fewer employees. These SMEs represent 98% of all manufacturing establishments in the United States, and they employ 43% of all manufacturing workers, approximately 5 million. According to the Small Business Administration, these small manufacturers number over 600,000. That's a huge number. This is the vast addressable market for which the creators of the cobot originally built their new tool, an affordable workmate that would revolutionize manufacturing, accelerate productivity, and democratize robotics for everyone. The cobot proved to be all of that and more. Word of this new tool, however, has never dispersed well enough to its intended SME audience. As the former CEO of Universal Robots, Jürgen von Hollen, remarked, cobot is not a household name with many. Barely 10% of the addressable market knows anything about cobots. When in 2020, MIT researchers visited SME factories in Ohio, Massachusetts, and Arizona, they were surprised to find no cobots in any. In fact, there were very few industrial robots of any kind. Indeed, the researchers wrote, even in the large firms with over 500 workers we visited, robots were scarce. Seems that if you don't attend trade shows, events, or some sort of robot convention, as is the case with most SMEs, chances are you missed the memo about cobots. SMEs were not the low-hanging fruit when it came to cobot sales. But now, with low-hanging fruit long gone, SMEs may well be the only fruit. When the researchers asked SMEs how they generally came to know about new robotic systems, most replied that integrators were the conduit, but admitted that they didn't like dealing with integrators. When we asked, said the researchers, companies that had bought robots or that were considering a purchase about working with integrators, the comments were mostly negative. Sharing company information with an integrator raises fears of losing intellectual property. One CEO who had an experience with trying to work with an integrator claimed that integrators sell their services by telling your competitor how they solved your problems. True or not, such answers were found to be consistent from Massachusetts to Ohio to Arizona. However, if offloading onesie-twosie cobot sales to an integrator is standard operating procedure in the cobot industry, then there appears to be potentially significant problems with SME bias. Then, too, price, the researchers found, was the major pain point with SMEs. If any had a big enough contract to cover such a purchase, then they would consider buying. However, the purchase price was not the only cost to bear. We heard during the interviews, reported the researchers, that the purchase price of a cobot or robot is only about a quarter of the total cost of installing a robot, a figure confirmed for us by Tom Ryden, the executive director of Mass Robotics. The picture appears to be developing that casts SMEs as a vast, underserved majority that the robot cobot industry has in the past and continues to overlook. All of which puts lots of validity to the figures that cobot sales are only a puny 5% of all industrial robots. Universal Robots, by far the leader in cobot sales worldwide, readily acknowledges the oversight. In an interview with Automation World, Joe Campbell, senior manager of applications development at Universal Robots, admitted as much, saying, "There's a large chunk of the market that's really been underserved by the whole automation community, and we continue to uncover every week more and more SMEs that have very little automation, if any." Actually, it's way more than a large chunk of the market, as Joe says. It is the market. SMEs are 98% of all manufacturing establishments in the United States. How could UR overlook the gorilla in the room? It's way more than uncovering SMEs as if they were outbreaks of COVID. We continue to uncover every week more and more SMEs that have very little automation, if any, says Joe. Why did it take UR 10 years to uncover that nugget of SME need? They have no robots, and so that's the big growth area going forward, says Joe. So why is all of this important? Why is any of it important? Well, the MIT task force uncovered a few reasons why. It appears that SMEs not taking part in automation upgrades and the use of robotics, according to the research group's report, is a major break on the country's productivity growth. There is a widening productivity gap between large manufacturing firms and small and mid-sized manufacturing firms. In the early 1970s, productivity, which is measured in shipments per employee, of large manufacturing establishments, that's plants with over 500 workers, was only about 22% higher than in plants with fewer than 500 workers. By 2012, revenues per employee at plants with more than 500 workers were 96% higher than those at smaller plants. Trying to explain slow productivity growth in SMEs and what appears to be their worsening relative performance seems a critical step in understanding the future prospects of U.S. manufacturing, says the report. When, why, and how manufacturing firms acquire new technology, how they find or train workers with new skills, these issues are central to figuring out why productivity lags in smaller companies. Speaking of impacts, what about all the suppliers of cobot accessories? You know, people who sell grippers, vision systems, and safety devices, et cetera, on and on and on. How much more could they have sold if the cobot industry had reached out to SMEs more vigorously? So going forward, what's the solution for SMEs? Cobot and robot rentals? Well, Reuters recently reported that there's a new movement afoot to get small companies into the automation flow, the rent-a-robot model. Silicon Valley has awakened to the reality of it all. Better technology and the need to pay higher wages to humans have produced a surge in sales of robots to big companies all across America, writes Reuters. But few of these automatons are making it into smaller factories, which are wary of big upfront costs and lacking robot engineering talent. So venture capitalists are backing a new financial model. Lease robots, install and maintain them, charge factories by the hour or month, like $2,000 a month instead of having to purchase. Cut the risk and initial costs. Millions of investment dollars have recently been poured into this new model for doing business with SMEs. Of course, rentals have been tried in the past. Matt Bush and Bob Goldies pioneered the rental model back in 2016 with their then refreshingly different company, Hirebotics. I remember writing an article about Bob and Matt, calling it Hirebotics, the Hertz of cobot rentals. We fundamentally believe most companies shouldn't own robots, says Bob Goldies, just like they don't own servers in the IT space. Hirebotics is a good fit where the customer doesn't have experience in automation in-house or their automation teams are just too busy and don't have time to support another project. If there's a problem in the middle of the day or night, Hirebotics is on the hook to deliver support. Then, too, there's the hey you factor in all of this. Whether it's rentals, leases, or sales, the industry still needs to somehow first engage with SMEs, get their attention, and buy in that the industry cares about them. The hey you, can we talk? Icebreaker moments that seem so much to be needed. After a decade or more of neglect, that might be a difficult chore. Does the cobot industry, after the myopia of selling cobots from trade show booths and through third-party integrators, know how to prospect for, engage with, and sell cobots to SMEs? Moreover, is the cobot industry willing to put in the effort into onesie-twosie selling to SMEs? One thing is for sure. If the cobot is indeed a revolution in robotics, as well as a new paradigm in the relationship between people and their machines, then just maybe there's a need for a new paradigm in ways to sell, rent, or lease these new tools to the greatest number of those in need. Try this one on for size. Hyundai. Let's take Hyundai, for instance. Hyundai Robotics has its new YL Cobot series in the marketplace, and they're pretty good machines. What if Hyundai decided to sell its cobots through its auto dealerships? Like maybe two cobots on a display room floor. Sure, they're differing parts of the Hyundai conglomerate, but still, we're talking new paradigms here, right? Hyundai Motors operates in 192 countries and has over 5,000 showrooms worldwide. That's a lot of selling space and familiar neighborhood space for any SME to visit. Every TV station in the world would do a piece on that uniquely newsworthy selling style. That's millions of dollars in free advertising for Hyundai. Plus, SMEs who pay a visit for a demo of a cobot might just also drive away with a new Hyundai Santa Fe.
That brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This Is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This Is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.